as pressure pays off.
The Dutton army go crazy.
Glorious goal.
Glasgow and the West's league leader for 50 years.
I'm asked to give an opinion and I like to give an honest one.
This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on the eve of a huge clash between Celtic and Rangers. Cameron Carter-Vickers has been ruled out of the game, but could Leal Abada and Rio Hatate make their returns from injury? Connor Goldson could also be fit, but Abdallah Sima is getting ready to head to the African Cup of Nations. There's also four other big fixtures tomorrow, including a huge one at the bottom between Motherwell and Livingston. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Jim Duffy and Kenny Miller.
Yep, big weekend coming up at both ends of the table, actually. But obviously all eyes will be on Glasgow and the Old Firm derby. A real top of the table clash. Disappointing that Rangers game against Ross County was cancelled, because it would have been a real blockbuster if Rangers could have went to Celtic Park, won the game and went top of the table for the first time in a while. But listen, it's still all we play for, and it's not going to decide the league, but there's real opportunities for Rangers to put a marker down, or Celtic really to stamp their dominance and say they're still the champions, and it's going to be not easy for Rangers to take that title off them.
Yeah, I mean, Brendan Rodgers looking to keep up a fantastic record in these type of matches. I think they say he's got the best record of any manager, Celtic or Rangers. But both teams are depleted. There's no doubt about that. Celtic had the news today that Cameron Carter-Vickers will be unavailable. Conor Goldson and John Lundstrom still be a last minute for Rangers. But there are key players missing for both sides, and this is a test of their squad strength. So for me, it'll be all about, you know, who handles the occasion tomorrow. Philip Clement has said he's looking forward to it, because he's got no idea how it's going to be, particularly with no Rangers fans there.
Yeah, these two are looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. And this is the last chance for you to get your thoughts in, because we're on air at 12 tomorrow. So by then, we will know the team news. So let us know who should start for your team. Are you confident? Are you not confident? How are you feeling about going into this game? Celtic fans, who's going to start at centre-back? There's no Cameron Carter-Vickers. Do you think Leal Abada and Rio Hatate will make some sort of appearance tomorrow? Rangers fans, what is your midfield going to look like tomorrow? Let us know, 0141 951 1025, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. But we like hearing from you on the phones, 0141 951 1025. Both managers speaking today, lots of interesting stuff said by both. Injuries, of course, is always a big one heading into a game like this. Brendan Rodgers speaking today about his situation. Cameron Carter-Vickers will not be available for the game. How big a loss is that, do you think, Kenny?
I think it'll be a huge loss for him, because I think for his time at Celtic, he's proved the real kind of constant in that back, in the partnership of the centre back. So it'll be a big loss. I mean, that being said, I mean, they went at the first Old Firm game with Lager, Bielka and Scales as the two centre backs, and again a depleted back line, and won the game. So, but it will be a big loss. I just think his influence on the team and how he steps in, his distribution for the back, he's a big player for them, very strong and aggressive defensively as well. So it'll be a big loss. Equally so would Conor Goldson on the other side if he was missing. But I expect the Rangers couple of guys, like the big ones, Lundstrom and on Goldson, to be fit and available. So if Carter-Vickers is ruled out, listen, it's a chance for somebody else to step in, and probably Welsh, who came on for him at the weekend against Dundee. So big opportunity for him.
Yeah, let's hear from Brendan Rodgers on that, confirming today that Cameron Carter-Vickers not only just out for the game tomorrow, but he will miss their game on Tuesday against St Mirren as well. However, he does have faith in his backup options and talked up Stephen Welsh's recent display against Feyenoord.
I always think it's an opportunity for someone else. Like we had it in the last game when Gustav and Liam Scales had played and came into the team, and for the likes of Liam, it was the making of him. So it's always a sadness whenever you lose a top player. But like I say, hopefully it's not too long a time. He'll be back after this break, and then hopefully can stay clear of injury for the second part of the season. As you've seen, Stephen, we played against Feyenoord and played very, very well. I really liked seeing him. I brought him with me as a young player when I was here first time round, and he's only a kid then, but he's really matured, Stephen. Maybe hasn't played so much as he would have liked, but only because of the form of Cam and Carl Starfelt when he was here. So that was the challenge for him. But he's always there as a loyal support to play, and I know that I can trust him when I put him in. So if he's the guy that gets the chance to play, then I've got every faith that he can perform.
Yeah, Gustav Lagerbielke got the shout at Ibrox when Cameron Carter-Vickers, without Liam Scales, was also playing as well, and his Celtic career's really kicked on from then. Just given the way that quite a few of the Celtic centre-backs' careers have gone since then, Gustav Lagerbielke has struggled for game time, has struggled to get on the bench at times. Mike Navrotsky has been nowhere to be seen at times. You go back to that game against Feyenoord, it was Stephen Welsh that got the nod. Do you think it'll be him again tomorrow?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's went from about sixth choice centre back to third choice, and I think that's. I mean, it's a fantastic testament to the boy who's just kept his head down, who's stayed in the background, who's waited his opportunity, and I think it's a lesson to a lot of players that, you know, if you keep working hard, you never know what can happen in football, particularly at big clubs. I mean, we thought Nowarowski and Lagerbielke would be the two. There would be, you know, the options alongside Carter-Vickers, but that's not been the case. And obviously, even before that, we had Kobayashi. And, you know, so there's been a lot of players that have come into Celtic, but none of them, I mean, Nat Phillips, we're talking about maybe going back to Liverpool, none of them have grabbed the jersey and taken the opportunity. And I think that the manager then has to feel confident in that, trust in that player. And he knows Stephen Welsh, as he mentioned, from his first time around. He knows what the club's about. He knows what the fixture's about. So I think he will definitely get the nod. But Cameron Carter-Vickers' influence isn't just his quality on the pitch. It's his influence in and around the players. And I think he's helped Liam Scales a lot as well. So I think that will be a miss. And I think that if you're in the Rangers camp, you definitely look at that team sheet. We know we mentioned it from the last time. But I think if you're Rangers, you're looking at that and think, right, there's got to be an opportunity there, that there's an element that Celtic are weaker. There's no doubt they're weaker without Cameron Carter-Vickers. But Stephen Welsh won't let anyone down with his attitude, that's for sure.
Can Stephen Welsh look at what happened with Liam Scales at the game at Ibrox, and he put in a good performance and his career has just gone from strength to strength at Celtic since then? Can Stephen Welsh sort of look at this as a big opportunity, if it is him, that he can maybe properly kickstart his Celtic career, because he's been in and out of squads at times? There's been chat about him potentially leaving at times as well. Will he see this as an opportunity to potentially sort of make his mark?
Well, the interesting thing about it is, if he is going to displace anybody, it's probably going to have to be the guy that he's alongside, because none of them's taking Carter-Vickers' slot. It's as simple as that. Jim's just went on, told you how important he is, and he absolutely is. So it's no doubt he'll look at his big partner and probably someone he knows really, really well coming through the system, and seeing how his career has kick-started after a loan spell at Aberdeen last year. He's now a fixture in the team. And you know what? But he's earned it. He's taken that jersey. He's waited his time and he's taken that jersey with his performance. Because going back to that last Old Firm game at Ibrox, he was the solid one. It was Lagerbielke for me that looked really, really ropey. Hence, that's why Welsh and probably Scales are ahead of them at this moment in time, and they probably will start this game tomorrow. So it's an opportunity for him. And you know what? See, if it's not to get into this team, it's an opportunity to play in a massive game of football that everybody's going to be watching, and the January transfer window's just round the corner. So he could play himself into somebody else's thoughts as well.
I think, Andrew, there's three players at Celtic who maybe a year or so ago would have thought that their Celtic careers might have been over. And there are young ones that come through the ranks: Anthony Ralston, Mikey Johnson, Stephen Welsh. You know, I don't think anyone thought when Postecoglou came in that these guys, you know, Ralston in particular, would have been a party. But football is about squads now. It's about rotation. It's about game management in terms of how you look after players. And these three players now can still become a part of that squad. Yeah, they might not be starting all the time. They might not be, you know, the automatic number one players on the team sheet. But when you've a club at Celtic and you're hoping to play as many important games as you possibly can, there's going to be times when you need the squad. Tomorrow's one of those examples. So if you can keep your attitude right, keep your performance levels at training as high as you possibly can, so that you're not out of the manager's eye line, then these opportunities come along. As Kenny says, what a fixture to get your, you know, to maybe get thrown into, to show people that you're more than capable of being a part of this squad.
0141 951 1025 is the number you need. Daniel is a Celtic fan in East Kilbride who's going to kick us off. Daniel, how are you feeling about tomorrow?
To be honest, I'm very confident. I know I probably don't share the same opinion as most Celtic fans, considering some recent forms domestically. But if you take a look at Glasgow Firm, we had a similar team, a lot of injuries, people were worried. It was Rodgers' first Old Firm back. And Ibrox, no fans, and he still managed to put up a decent enough performance to get the 3 points. And I think a lot of Celtic fans are being a wee bit pessimistic. We've got players coming back by the likes of Abada and Hatate. And I think those two added into the team, maybe not starting, but at least to have them on the bench. And then, as you say, you've got Liam Scales, who's proved himself time and time again. And then Welsh as well. I think with they two at the back, players that are coming in, and even though the performances have been poor, we're still managing to get results. And I just don't see why fans are so doubtful or so on edge about the result maybe not going our way.
Rangers have obviously had a change of manager since that last game. Daniel, playing a bit differently now, does that change things going into this for you at all?
No, not at all. If you're managing a club like Celtic or Rangers, so we'll look at Clement and Rodgers, you've got to be prepared for these changes in any league, any game, any fixture. Rodgers will know how Clement's most likely going to set up. He knows what players he's got available. He knows the style of football he plays, because he'll be watching him weeks in advance to try and figure it out. And he, Rodgers knows who he's got at his disposal. So, honestly, it'll be interesting to see what's different this time round, but I don't think it'll be too much cause for concern.
How different will the attitude be from Celtic, just given the last couple of performances? There was obviously a couple of defeats in there, but the fact that they have performed better in the last couple of games, Brendan Rodgers talking about that today, that he's been happy with those performances, will they feel a lot more assured about themselves now going into it?
I think that any good performance and good result, you know, definitely helps. There's no question about that. They went up to Dundee there. They played very well, you know, totally dominated the game, 1-3-0 convincingly. You know, and I think that's definitely going to help on the back of a couple of sticky performances. And I think the fact that I don't see Rangers coming here, coming to Celtic and camping. You know, I don't see that at all. And that's when Celtic have struggled a little bit, when teams have got, you know, maybe, you know, low blocks and people behind the ball. And as Brendan Rodgers said, by his own admission, maybe the intensity and the tempo wasn't quite what it had to be. I don't think that'll be the case in this game. Everyone knows the tempo, the intensity is going to be, you know, absolute maximum from the first whistle to the last whistle. So I think that the game should suit Celtic in terms of, I think it'll be more open. But the only thing I think Rangers are physically, I think, you know, better shape. I think mentally in better shape than they were under Philip Clement. And although their squad is stretched, if, as Kenny thinks, Lundstrom is fit and Goldson's fit, I think that Rangers are, you know, have got maybe more of their key players available to them for this particular match.
Who starts at centre-back for you, Daniel?
Honestly, I would go with Scales and Welsh. I like Lagerbielke in the last one, but it was too inconsistent. He showed spirit for the game, but there was just a lack of consistency. And I think Stephen Welsh, being someone who's been in the squad for a long time, he knows the demand of this fixture. He knows what the fans expect. He knows what the manager expects. He knows what his teammates around him expect. If you've got a player that you can rely on behind you should you make a mistake, I think that gives you a boost of confidence and allows you to play a bit more freely. And as you have said, Rangers aren't going to sit back. They're going to open the play up. And I've always said that teams should put 10 players behind the ball. It makes it difficult to infiltrate. But if a team's opening it up, I think it's going to make it a lot easier to play the football that Rodgers has shown that he wants to play, but it's just so difficult with the way other teams are playing.
If it is to be Liam Scales and Stephen Welsh, does Liam Scales' role in the team change at all? Because he's used to playing next to Cameron Carter-Vickers, who really is the leader in that back line? Does he need to be the one that essentially takes it by the scruff of the neck?
No, listen, I don't think so. I think they'll know each other well. Stephen Welsh has been at the club a long time as well. You know, he knows the fixture, he knows the club. He's just found himself at this moment. He's behind Liam Scales because he's came in and he's took his opportunity, and that's what football's about. Jim talked about it earlier. When somebody gets injured, I think it was even Brendan Rodgers was saying, when someone steps out, whether it be suspension or injury, it's a door opening for someone else. Well, Liam Scales has walked right through that, you know, and he's taken that jersey and he's been excellent. You know, he had a decent loan spell last year, but he's been absolutely excellent this year. And like I said, he was a solid one out of the two between him and Lagerbielke in the first Old Firm game. So he doesn't need to be that leader. What they'll be is they'll be very familiar with each other's games, and they'll have a decent enough relationship, the fact that they've probably been at the club a long time together. So I wouldn't be overly concerned about it. Cameron Carter-Vickers is going to be a big loss, no doubt about it, but I would actually be more concerned if Lagerbielke had been thrown in, or Navrotsky was available to play, or Phillips was thrown in, because we've not really seen enough of them to really know if they're capable. And by the way, that's why Rodgers is going to go for Scales. You know, Lagerbielke wasn't even on the bench against Dundee, and Scales just came, and he's talked about Scales playing against Feyenoord in a Champions League game. So it would be a big surprise to me if Welsh doesn't get the nod tomorrow.
Any other big calls, Daniel? Who do you feel shouldn't start?
Might be a bit controversial, but I don't think Maeda should start. I know he brings pace, and I know he can get behind the back line of most defences, but the past few games, I just don't think he's... Since he's came back from injury, I just don't think he's had that same...
Who would you start in his place?
If Abad is fit and ready, I would put him in Palmon.
Would it be a real surprise if Leila Bada or Rio Hatate were thrown in from the start tomorrow?
I would be. I think, like, I mean, they've been out a long time now. I mean, to throw them into this fixture.
The last game Abada played was the last Old Firm game
there you go.
In September.
Well, there you go. That's three and a half months away. So I would be very surprised. Hatate as well. Like, I think the way Hatate plays, it would be, again, I'd be surprised if he was to throw any of them in. Again, off the back of two decent enough performances and results, if he was... Hatate is a massive player for them, and I think Abada at the top of his game is a real threat. There's just no way he can be at the top of his game at this moment in time after that length of time out.
Yeah, I mean, Hatate wouldn't be his biggest surprise for me, because I think you would, if you could start your best players, and even if you know you're going to get an hour out of them, and you say, right, we're getting an hour, because no one's really grabbed that position since he's left. He's had David Turnbull in there, he's had Bernardo in there, and I know he scored against Indy, but he's not really, you know, solidified that jersey for me. You get McGregor, obviously, is always going to be in there, and obviously O'Reilly. Those two are gimmies. So it's that other one, but no one's really cemented that position. So if Hatate was fit enough to give you an hour, I wouldn't be overly surprised if he started. I think Maeda will definitely play. I think if Yilmaz is playing at left back, if Barisic is not fit, even when Barisic is fit, he's had a couple of nervy matches against Celtic. He's been responsible for a couple of goals. But I think Maeda, if he is going to be playing against Yilmaz, that could be key for Celtic, because, you know, Yilmaz again is still trying to find his feet a little bit. Hasn't again, been as consistent as we'd like to be. And there's talk about Rangers looking for another left back. You know, so therefore that kind of tells you that if Barisic isn't there, the manager is maybe not 100% convinced by him. So again, I would be very surprised if Maeda misses out. And if Hatate, if he's fit for an hour, I think he could pitch, Ben Rodgers could pitch him in from the start.
I agree with Jim there in that respect. That would be Hatate, if anything. But by the way, what a guy you have on the bench. If you've got a Bada coming on to the bench, someone who's impacted these games so much over the last few seasons, it would just be great for Celtic fans and even the squad just to see his name on that team sheet.
Well, let's hear from Brendan Rodgers. He says they could make their long-awaited returns tomorrow. He knows just how vital they are to the squad.
Yeah, well, we're just hopefully they've trained and Liel a little bit longer, so we don't want to rush them. But if they come through well today, then they'll be involved in the squad for tomorrow. Well, yeah, they're both very good performers. I think Liel is a player that he's a goal scorer who obviously he plays wide, but he's a goal scorer. So I think his record in terms of since he's been here, goals to games, is very, very good. So I know he just wants to get back on the field. Again, it's been a challenging few months for him with injury and everything else, but he looks really good in training, and if I need him over the course of tomorrow or the rest of the season, then I'll be happy to do that. And Rio is a big talent, so it'll be great to have him back.
Does that change your opinion at all? He's saying that Leila Abada's trained more than Rio Hatate. He seemed to talk at length a bit more about Abada than he did Hatate.
I still think that, again, like Jim, I think Maeda plays, what he brings to that Celtic team in general, but in these games in particular, in terms of his pace, his movement, and then how he can actually press and initiate the kind of against the ball stuff. I just think he's an important player for them. He's not playing at the top of his game, I will say that, but he's an important player. And I go back to, I think having a battle on the team sheet in that squad, depending on how the game's going, if you need a goal or you need an injection of that pace and that directness that he brings, it's a great guy to have on the bench.
Well, let's hear from you. Thank you to Daniel. Celtic fans, keep those thoughts coming in. And Rangers fans, we want to hear who you want to play for your team tomorrow. 0141 951 1025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. For 50 years, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Jim Duffy here with me on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. And you can get involved as well. 0141 951 1025. A huge game tomorrow. We've been hearing from Celtic fans and who they want to start with Cameron Carter-Vickers out of the team. Let's hear a bit from Philip Clement, shall we, because he's been speaking about his own injury issues. He confirmed Connor Goldson and some other players that are returning from injury did train today, however was reluctant to say who's likely to play.
He trained, so we will assess this afternoon and tomorrow what to do with that. No, we will see tomorrow, and it's with all the squad like that.
It's Jenny and Bill with Simple Bath and Kitchen.
We know the world feels a little crazy sometimes, but your home, that should be your safe place.
A beautiful kitchen for your family, a bathroom that feels like your own private retreat.
At Simple Bath and Kitchen, we have a fine-tuned process that makes remodeling something that you can actually enjoy.
Because when everything outside is unpredictable,
your home should be exactly what you need it to be.
Visit us at simplebathandkitchen.com to regain your peace today.
We make it simple for you.
The weather in Central Ohio just got better, and so should your loan rate. CME Federal Credit Union wants to try to beat your current loan rate by 2% on autos and toys. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days on car loans and no payments for 60 days on motorcycles, boats, and more. With car rates as low as 4.9% APR and toy rates starting at 6.5% APR, it's the perfect time to save. Apply today at CMEFCU.org. Terms apply. Minimum floor rates 4.99% APR car, 6.5% APR other vehicles. Federally insured by NCUA.
Of others also. It's normal. This period, if you see, we're also the team who played most games these last couple of weeks. I did some things in training, not too much, and I will make my decisions tomorrow. Some trained, but it's not sure yet if they will have a reaction or not. So that's why I don't want to say it too fast, because otherwise people think that I play games. I don't like to play games. And to say that somebody's in, and then this afternoon he feels a little bit reaction from the training, and we're not going to do stupid risk to lose players for the rest of the season. So it's better to make the assessment tomorrow, and then it's clear.
Yeah, not wanting to be seen as playing games. Do you think it is that, or do you think he's just keeping his cards close to his chest?
Well, what I've got to understand is Philip Clement's not going to tell you his team the day before the game, you know. So I think had he been out,
if
like
he did,
Cameron
we'd lose a whole lot of debate on this show tonight.
Absolutely
as well.
Would, yep. So I think the fact that Brendan Rodgers says Carter Vickers is out, he's out, that's it, he's going to be out. Is that playing games? Could he turn up and be in the lineup? I would expect not. I just think that tells me potentially that they're going to be fit, they've trained. And it's just natural. If they've only trained today or even the last couple of days, you have to see how injured players come through it, because you would rather them miss this game and the next game than be missing two, three months. So it's I would be confident by listening to Philippe Clement that the players are going to be fit. So again, the ones I'm talking about are going to be Goldson and Lundstrom.
And Borna Barisic as well. Is it as simple as if the three of those are fit they start?
No, I don't think it is. Not in terms of the left back. Listen, if you go through history of the games, he's probably went for Barisic when they're both fit, but definitely Lundstrom and Goldson. If they're both fit, they have to play. It's as simple as that. Particularly Lundstrom in the centre of the midfield, because there's just not that many other options. I mean, you look, if you were going into tomorrow with Kieran Dowell, who I think he's had maybe three or four starts now, Dujon Sterling, who again similarly four or five starts, but not even a centre midfielder, and Cantwell as your kind of midfield three players. I don't think that looks particularly strong. So, but
is that
Lundstrom
almost,
in there?
Is Lundstrom almost the more crucial one, just given the backup options there? Because Kieran Dowland, Dujon Sterling, Philip Clement has said himself that they've been playing out of position,
yep,
really, and they've only been tried out on a couple of occasions together. Do you think it's more crucial for Rangers that they have John Lundstrom than Conor Goldson, despite Conor Goldson's influence? Because, no,
I think it's equally as important. See, if any of them were missing, then they're going to be a huge loss, because whoever's coming in, they just can't do the job. You talk about the influence Carter Vickers is on that Celtic, but that's Conor Goldson. Very, very similar players in relation to how important they are for their team, not just with their abilities, but their leadership qualities as well.
It's the same sort of conversation we had about Stephen Welsh in that central midfield for Rangers. Yeah. If Dujon Sterling and Kieran Dowell are, you know, the two that are chosen to play in there, it could be a massive afternoon for the two of those.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Sterling has been an absolute revelation in there. I have to say that for Rangers. You know, he's a fullback by trade. You know, he's been pitched in there, and he looks very, very comfortable. Yeah, I mean, he's not going to take the ball and dictate, you know, the passes that some other players might do. But in terms of breaking the play up, winning the ball back, you know, protecting his back four, he's done a tremendous job in there. Dowell has got lovely ability, as we know. But I think to allow Cantwell that little bit of extra freedom, you need somebody like Lundstrom there. Lundstrom knows the game, this fixture. He knows the fixture very well. He's probably been, I think, probably Rangers' most consistent player this year. He's been really, really vital for Rangers. And Goldson, as Kenny has mentioned, is, you know, his influence in the team, you can never underestimate it. So I think those players being available for Rangers gives them a more natural balance, it gives them more security, it gives them more physicality. And I think, as I said, since in this particular fixture, it gives them knowledge of the game. And I think this is the type of game you don't want to get in there exposed and a bit naive. They know going to Celtic Park, Celtic will normally come out the traps very quickly. They like to get the tempo up. They've caught Rangers out a few times very early on when Rangers have been a little bit shell-shocked. So they will understand that that can happen, and they'll need that experience to try and nullify it.
William is a Rangers fan on the line. How confident or otherwise are you heading into tomorrow?
Hello, Andrew, Kenny and Jim.
Hello, William.
Yeah, as I say to your producer, right, in years gone past, under certain Rangers managers, right, you're thinking, can we get a result tomorrow? Are we sure we can do this? But see, under this man, I'm getting in there tomorrow expecting Rangers to win. That's how confident I am. You know what I mean? That Celtic team are there for the taking. No doubt about it. The way this man's got us playing, the belief, he talks about mentality. We're getting in there unbeaten 16 matches. Went to places like Spain and won. We beat a very good Sparta Prague team where we're beating most teams, and only it's Aberdeen's took 2 points off us, right? I'm going there tomorrow very confident, expecting to win.
Celtic there for the taking, says William.
Well, listen, I love the confidence for him. I mean, everything he's stated is facts in terms of being, this is 16 games unbeaten, 10 league games, 9 wins and a draw. It makes for really, really good reading for Philippe Clement and his start, his Rangers career, and actually the form going into this game. I wouldn't necessarily think Celtic are there for the taking. I think they're still a very good team. It's going to be a brilliant game, by the way, a game I'm really looking forward to. It's going to be about, firstly, again, who takes their moments, what players step up. I mean, if you're looking at big players on our teams, you've got Callum McGregor being over the course and distance, Matt O'Reilly, who at this moment in time will be player of the season. Again, Kyogo, as much as, again, he's not been right at the top of his game, he turns up in these games. He's got a brilliant goal scoring record on Celtic's side, so there's still a real, real threat there. Like, for Rangers' point of view, you've got Tavernier, who normally is the one to step up. Seymour's having a wonderful season. And I think John Lundstrom, like Jim says, I agree, not just the most consistent, probably the best player Rangers have had this season. So if they're playing, listen, it makes for a really, really good game. And, you know, it is a tough, tough one to call. I just think that Celtic will be favourites, because I think, obviously, the champions are the treble winners. They're at home. They've got the 60,000 fans behind them. Rangers have, again, they've not had great success there over the last kind of few years. So everyone's in kind of Celtic's favour in that respect. But Rangers are going in there, like William says, 16 games unbeaten. You have to be going in there as a football player, confident to go there on that stage, in that fixture, and be the guy to make a difference.
To dust off the old cliche book, does form go out the window in these games?
Yeah, I think it does. You know, for the majority, but I think that you know, if you look at the matches that Brendan Rodgers has been the manager of Celtic, then his record is very, very good. So therefore, sometimes a manager just knows, you know, can just tweak his team a little bit for a specific game. William was mentioned there, like the Real Betis game, Sparta Prague game, massive games. But this is Philip Clement's first experience of this fixture. So how does he approach it? Does he think, right, I'm just going to go and get my team to play the way I've asked them to play in every other game? Or do I have to tweak this because of this particular fixture and what it means to the supporters? So I think there's a little bit of a dilemma for Philip Clement. How does he approach the game? Whereas Brendan Rodgers knows exactly how to deal with this fixture. That might be in a very, very tight game. You would imagine that this should be a really tight game. Sometimes it's just that wee bit extra information, if you want to call it that, that can be given to the players, might just be the difference between picking up all 3 points and you know, maybe losing the match.
You're obviously very confident, William. Does the fitness of the likes of Conor Goldson and John Lundstrom, does that not really matter to you? Do you think either way Rangers will win?
Yeah, I think Rangers will win, but Kenny's nailed it. Lundstrom and Goldson's definitely playing them all out. If they were out, every press conference the Big Phil's done right, he's always stated the players are out. This time he hasn't. Lundstrom's a big hardy scouser. He'll definitely play. That's for sure. And the thing is, the difference, I think, tomorrow, Rangers have got a rock-solid defence, a brilliant goalkeeper, right? And they'll get genuine pace up front, pace to burn. I think that'll frighten the life out of Celtic, you know what I mean? Especially, Kenny's mentioned Seema. He is a machine, you know what I mean? I just think we're getting in there full of belief, full of confidence, and I'm expecting Rangers to win.
Well, thank you to William. Let's go to Dominic. Are you as confident?
Good evening, Andrew, Kerry and Jim. Seedings, greetings.
Hi, Dominic.
I'm confident, Andrew, but I was saying to the producer, I don't think a draw would be the worst of the results for Rangers, because obviously we still get the two games in hand. But I think for me personally, it will be interesting to see how Clement lines up. If Lundstrom's going to be out, I'm hoping that he's not. Obviously, I hope he starts, but I hope he's not going to play the two settled defensive mids in front of the back four. But I'm hoping he'll obviously go attacking him. I think he will. But the worst case scenario for me, I think, is if Lammers starts. He's absolutely, as we all know, been the worst signed out of the Beale era.
Dominic's saying that he hopes that maybe the system will change. Would you be surprised if Philip Clement decided to change the system from the sort of two more deeper lying midfielders going into the game tomorrow?
Well, listen, in my view, again, everybody sees it different in formations, as we know. They're on a paper, you know, the game's moving and it's got to be fluid, and it's about players kind of just making good decisions and actually performing when they cross that white line. I think this is a game where maybe it will suit having a Sterling in the middle, because Celtic will dominate possession tomorrow, I've absolutely no doubt about it. And having that physicality in the legs of a Lundstrom and a Sterling, and that's me giving Sterling the nod over Kieran Dow, who, by the way, potentially could have been Rangers' best player over the last couple of games since he's came into the team. He's looked pretty good. But I think if Lundstrom's fit, it'll be Sterling that will get the nod alongside him, and Cantwell will play in that more advanced role. But that's their offensive system. You know, with Cantwell as a 10, with Seema on the left, potentially McCausland on the right, or Matondo, or whoever's going to play, and Dessers will be up the middle. Off the ball, which is going to be just as important for Rangers tomorrow, is how they compress their legs to stop Celtic. How do you stop Callum McGregor? You know, he's had the first game of the season, he had too much time. You know, too much time to dictate the game, and he wants that time. And he's obviously a heartbeat Celtic's team. So it's interesting to see the selection. Not so much the system. It'll be what it is. It'll be 4-2-3-1. It'll be 4-4-2 press, 4-4-1-1, whatever you want to call it. But Lundstrom and Sterling would probably get the nod. And I think because of Celtic and how they'll have the ball and how they like to play and how they want to pin you in, it could be a game for Sterling to actually, that physicality, actually be a real positive for Rangers.
Can I ask you anything? Do you think that Rangers should tweak it to stop Callum McGregor? Because in the first half at Ibrox, Callum McGregor absolutely dominated the game. In the second half, Rangers changed it. Michael Beale changed it, and Callum McGregor didn't have as much influence. But I think Todd Cantwell's not the type of guy that's going to drop on to Callum McGregor. I don't think so anyway. I don't think he's that type of disciplined player who can say, right, okay, when we lose possession, you get around McGregor and you try and nullify him. So would there be an option of leaving Cantwell out in this game and putting as you say, maybe a Dowell or somebody just slightly advanced and saying, well, you get round because he's a more natural midfield player, but it still gives you a bit more creativity. Would you risk losing Cantwell in this game?
Listen, I don't think Cantwell's been at the top of his game, and I really, really rate him. And I think the way he finished the season last year was great. And I think in this Rangers team, he has to be the creative influence. Mm. So I wouldn't leave him out. I think there's different ways about it. I felt in the first game, it was the midfield three, no jumping up.
Yeah.
I think it was Jack and it was Raskin that was in the game. I thought one of them could. I think it might have been Cantwell.
They're three more natural midfield players, absolutely. Cantwell's a 10.
Yeah, he is. But by the way, he works hard though, Jim. He puts his shift in the lad. I'll tell you that. He's got the physicality that he can do it. He might not be that tough tackling midfielder thing, but you don't need to be. You just need to be in an area that just, by the way, makes the guys a question. Because I remember it was in the game at the end of last season. I seen Callum McGregor going crazy at guys like Carter Vickers. And Starfield for not giving him the ball. But it's because they could just see a Rangers player in his area, and it just asks that question. If you've got someone who's, again, you're not standing right next to him, but you're in an area where if the ball goes to him, you can get press on him straight away to stop him dominating that. So I would expect, again, Philip Clement's a top manager. He's proven to be that. He's going to have watched games. He's going to have seen the Old Firm games, and that particularly the last one that Callum McGregor did dominate. You have to find a way to stop him, because if you stop him, you can stop a lot of the attacks.
Well, thank you to Dominic. Keep your calls coming, 01419511025, but you do not want to miss this.
Win £300,000.
Yes, what would you do with £300,000? I can imagine there's a few Scottish Premiership managers that wouldn't mind £300,000 going into the January transfer.
That's five players.
But instead of them, it could be you winning £300,000, because this New Year's Eve could be one you will never forget. Our biggest ever cash giveaway is worth £300,000. Text YES to 61025. Text are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website. Online entries cost £2, or call 0330 880 4523. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only. All the rules for this network competition are on our website. When entry lines shut at 3 p.m. on Hogmanay, it will be Gemma Atkinson that could be calling you with the good news. If we do, just answer and you will win £300,000. There's no phrase to remember. You don't need to pick up within five rings. It's as simple as that. You will win the money. Text YES to 61025 for your chance to win £300,000.
Glasgow and the West's league leader for 50 years. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Kenny Miller here with me, Andrew McLean, as we build up to that huge game between Celtic and Rangers tomorrow. Get your calls in, 0141 951 1025. Maybe you've got some ideas of who you'd like to start for your team. Maybe you want to talk about how confident you are, or maybe you're not so confident. You can let us know, 0141 951 1025. Is this the real Christmas day for Glasgow tomorrow?
It certainly is. It's normally been the last fixture before the break over the last couple of seasons, but obviously we've still got another one to go after just after the new year. But it's a game that I've been looking forward to for a few weeks now. You see where Rangers kind of just getting them back in, with the help of Celtic dropping the points against Kilmarnock and Hearts, but it was always going to be building up to be a big game.
Well, let's go back to the phones. Brian is a Celtic fan in Stirling. Brian, how are you feeling ahead of tomorrow?
Outstandingly good. Very, very good, actually. And I don't have any disrespect for our opponents, but I think the reason why, Kenny just mentioned there, we did have that wee blip. Two games where we really should be a bit better, a bit more inventive in front. We were talking about two teams that were sitting back, holding back, five across the back against Calais. And, I mean, it's no great football to watch, but it's effective. If you want to play against Celtic, the team that there is, the new, then do that. But Rangers won't do that, and that's the reason why I feel a bit confident. Rangers will come and they'll try and open up, they'll try and exploit any weaknesses at Celtic's defences. And I'm sure they'll look at the last couple of games, but that's no Celtic. Celtic haven't turned into a bad team because of two blips, and I'll say blips. And Rangers haven't turned into some treble winning team just because they've won the trophy. And fair play, they've done it. But I say myself, if the two teams, as they are playing, play as good as they can play, it'll be a good game. But I feel Celtic at Celtic Park will win it. And
No, on you go, Brian.
I mean, it's no, as I say, it's absolutely no disrespect. I know what Rangers have got. They're a better team than what they were under Beale. And the last time at Ibrox, I mean, we had half a team and no fans. Rangers have gone in with their tails up. And good, you know, because that's what I want. I want them to come on to us. Because as we proved against Feyenoord, when a team comes at us, it leaves gaps and spaces. We've got pace, we've got skill. And, I mean, we lost a couple of silly games, and that was good opponents. They were nullifying, and we couldn't find that spark. But I believe that Rangers will come out, and they will come out to try and play us. That could be, and I would hope so, on the rundown, you know.
So Brian thinks that, you know, Rangers having a go at Celtic will play into Celtic's hands. Does it work both ways as well, do you think?
Absolutely, because Rangers still face the same deep blocks that Celtic face most weeks against the other teams in the division. And I don't think, this is where I actually think Celtic are actually more equipped at this moment in time to break those deep blocks down in the two games that we've mentioned. I mean, listen, Hearts weren't that much deep. They commit. You know what it is? Rangers will still get forced back into that block. You know, they will. The way Celtic build up and the way Brendan plays and he likes that control of the game, it will give Rangers time to get their men behind the ball and get into their defensive structure. So they'll still have to break that Rangers down. But what it'll be is Rangers will commit more bodies forward. When they've got the ball, they want to impose themselves onto the game. They want the likes of Cantwell to be effective. They want the likes of Seema to be doing what he's doing. And young, if again, whoever's playing on the other side, if it's young Ross McCausland, do what you've been doing. Get the ball, go be direct, go and put Greg Taylor on the back foot and ask him questions. So they will commit more bodies forward. At that point, then it leaves you a little bit more open to counter-attacks. And he's right, you've got Maeda, you've got Kyogo, whether it be Abada or whoever it is going to play. There is pace in the Celtic team that can play that way, but I still think Celtic, when they face those kind of deeper blocks, they have got the cohesion, they have got the combination play and the players to actually go break it down. They've just not done it on a few occasions, which, by the way, absolutely right, Brian. See, when you're a lesser team going to Celtic Park or Ibrox, that's exactly how you want to play, because there is always that day where it just doesn't click into gear and they can't break you down.
Brian says if both teams play at their best, he thinks Celtic will win, but that's not really been a feature of the last few games between Celtic and Rangers, has it? They haven't really been the best quality matches, have they?
No, but I think that there's been mitigating circumstances. We mentioned before, Celtic the last time had, you know, thrown a back four together, really. But Kyogo was the difference in terms of having that instinct, you know, that long ball over the top. Most people think, take a touch, he hits it early, you know, he scores a terrific goal. And he's just, as Kenny had mentioned earlier on, he's a player who seems to thrive and lift his game for these occasions, and he's was it three of the last four games he scored? So he's always going to be someone that keeps the Rangers' defence on their toes, and it's concentration. When you go to a place like Celtic Park, and you know if Celtic are attacking, then fine, your concentration, your units, your structure's there. It's when you're attacking. And that's what happened the last time Rangers were up the pitch. Just one long ball, and all of a sudden they've just lost concentration for a split second. And that's happened too many times in recent games for Rangers. You know, with against Celtic, I'm talking about, where they've just switched off for a split second and they've been punished. So, you know, the likes of Conor Goldson, James Tavernier, John Lundstrom, those guys that have been and done it have to make sure. Listen, we have to make sure that we're concentrating, because if not, as Brian has mentioned, Celtic do have quality in that middle to attack in third. O'Reilly, Kyogo, Maeda, Palmer, if he's playing. I'm still of the thought that I think that each manager might just throw a wee spanner in the works somewhere along the line. I'm not totally convinced they'll go with the obvious team. As we would maybe think at this moment in time. I think there might be one surprise each in both camps.
Thank you to Brian. Let's squeeze in Kenny on the line, who's a Celtic fan in Renfrew. Are you confident Celtic can get the job done, Kenny?
I'm absolutely confident, to be fair. And I think the main thing for Celtic is they've got the Green Brigade back, so we've got that atmosphere back at Celtic Park. And you think of the 60,000, that is going to be so intimidating for Rangers. the amount of chances Celtic have created in recent matches as well, you think of the chances they're going to get against Rangers. I really believe the span on the works, as Jim says, will be Abada will play and Palmer will play and Kyogo will play up front. I do think they'll play Abada. I think listening to Brendan Rodgers tonight, he's a player that really does do really well against Rangers, and I do think he'll take that gamble. Maeda, for me, is just he just hasn't come back playing full fire for me since injury. And I think that will be the twist from Rodgers. I think he's shown in recent matches against Rangers every time he's played, he's been very tactically astute. And I do think the one thing Jim did say is crucial, but if Rangers do want to win that game, Callum McGregor has to be nullified. So I don't think Cantwell would be the one in there for Rangers. I know creative-wise, Ibrox fair enough, but I do agree with Jim's point about nullifying McGregor. That is a crucial tactical point if Clement's going to do that. But that Celtic midfield for me, and then that attacking three of Kyogo, Abada and Palmer, for me, that's pretty frightening for me for Celtic if they can click together. And I think Abada's been a big miss in the last few months because his contribution with goals, his assists as well. I think he's a crucial player. I do think he's going to play tomorrow.
You know? 3.5 months is a long time out. Jim, could you see him being thrown straight in there, or if he is to play, will it be more of an option off the bench? Because there's obviously a duty of care to the player as well. Throwing him into a real high intensity game after that long time out, it could potentially have a negative effect. But you never know, he could end up starting and playing and scoring.
I think it's unlikely he'll start, but it doesn't mean that that'll be the case. I mean, players now, fitness is dictated now by sports science and the physio, but particularly the sports science department. You know, they have all the tests, they have the levels to start with, and then they see how close they are to those levels once they do all the fitness tests now. So,
and it's funny, that's probably more injuries than ever.
Yeah, you're right, Kenny. Whether I agree with it or not is immaterial, but that's the way it works now. It used to be you would need two or three games under your belt to get yourself up to speed. Now that's not normally the case. Normally it's done on the pitch and working with the sports science department and the physios department, and they gauge your fitness. That in conjunction with the player. The player will know himself how he feels. And if he's ready to go and if he feels 100% and Brendan Rodgers gets the nod from the medical department, then it's up to the manager then to decide, well, okay, can I throw him in? As Kenny, both Kenny here and Kenny on the line has said, he's got a terrific record, you know, against Rangers. He is a goal scorer. Brendan Rodgers emphasised that time and time again in his interview. He said he's a winger, but he's a goal scorer. If you've got goal scorers, you want as many of them on the pitch as you possibly can. And Maeda, for all the energy he's got, and he is a trigger for the press, there's no doubt about that. But he's not a natural goal scorer, and that's the one thing Abada does give you. So I don't think he would start. I think it would be unlikely to start. But again, as I mentioned, I've just got a wee inkling that both managers might just tweak something just to try and give them that little tactical edge.
Well, thank you to Kenny on the line. Plenty of your calls to come, but before that, let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yes, Beat the Pundit, your chance to take on either Kenny Miller or Jim Duffy to win the bragging rights and a signed ball. The perfect way to bring in your weekend. All you need to do to take part is give us a call, 0141 951 1025, and make sure you call before 7 o'clock.
First for football, for 50 years, this is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Yes, the countdown is on to tomorrow's big match, a 12:30 kick-off. So give us your thoughts, Celtic against Rangers, 0141 951 1025. Plenty of opinions on the phone so far about who should play, who shouldn't play. Should there be any surprise comebacks from injury? Are you confident of your team's chances? Give us a call, 0141 951 1025. But before we get back to your calls, let's do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Time for Beat the Pundit, your chance to take on one of these two and try and win yourself a signed ball. What kind of form are the two of you in at the moment?
I've actually only played once in a while, but I'm over the course of the season, no bad eye.
But rusty, the two of you then, is that?
Yeah, probably aye.
Callers might be catching you at a good time then. We'll see. Or does form go out the window?
Form goes out the window this weekend, apparently.
Talked about here. I think I'm about to get some stats for each of you as well, because I'm interested to see exactly how the two of you.
I'm 100%, I'll just tell you now.
Actually, in fact, I think I've got them all right. Oh, here we go. Yeah, this is exactly what we needed. Hold on, Kenny. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, but I'm not 100% more player. I've only played once in the last that's pretty good, 5-6 weeks. Yeah.
And you're 2 out of 2, Jim, for this season.
Ready to go.
So, sure. There we go. That's not too bad.
Big task for whoever's coming on.
Yeah, Scott is in Somerston. How are you feeling about your chances, Scott?
I don't know. I didn't take no too keen after you put over 100%. But
small sample size for Jim, though. That's all right. And Kenny's a bit rusty, he says, so you might be okay. Have you played before, actually?
No. I was actually just sitting in my car. It was my wee boy that's phone to his phone, so he just passed me the phone.
There we go. Is he going to give you a bit of help as well?
Well, I hope so.
Take all the help you can get, Scott.
Right, there we go. Heads for Jim Duffy, tails for Kenny Miller. And it's heads. You will be playing Jim Duffy, so we will make sure that Jim Duffy gets some greatest hits radio in his ear. And he's given me the nod, he can't hear me. Scott, your first time playing, it's 30 seconds on the clock. Answer as many questions as you can correctly. And remember, you can pass to save yourself a bit of time if you don't know the answer. You ready to go?
Yep.
Let's start. What club was Fabio Silva on loan at last before Rangers?
I'll pass.
Who scored the winner in the last Old Firm game?
Kyogo.
Who was the St Mirren manager before Stephen Robinson?
White hair, silver hair, Goodwin.
Who captained Scotland more times, Andy Robertson or Darren Fletcher?
Robertson.
Which Scotland Championship team play at the Excelsior Stadium?
Airdrie.
Who's the top goal scorer so far in the English Premier League?
Talent.
There we go. Right, Jim Duffy, can you hear me?
Yes, hear you loud and clear now.
Good stuff. Right, let's get straight into it. 30 seconds on the clock. Let's go. What club was Fabio Silva on loan at last before Rangers?
PSV.
Who scored the winner in the last Old Firm game?
Kyogo.
Who was the St Mirren manager before Stephen Robinson?
We'll pass.
Who has captained Scotland more times, Andy Robertson or Darren Fletcher?
Andy Robertson.
Which Scottish Championship team play at the Excelsior?
Airdrie.
Who is the top goal scorer in the English Premier League?
Pass.
True or false, Philip Clement spent part of his playing career in Britain?
True.
You've gone for true. Scott, how do you think it went?
I think he's done me. It was PSV, right enough, was the answer for.
It's Erling Haaland, isn't it? It's going to be the top goal scorer. Yeah. Just tell you what, it's blank.
Pretty tight. We'll see how the two of you get on. What club was Fabio Silva on loan at last before Rangers? He was on loan at Anderlecht, but after that he was on loan at PSV. 1-0 to Jim Duffy. Who scored the winner in the last Old Firm game? You both got Kyogo. It goes 2-1. Who was the St Mirren manager before Stephen Robinson? You didn't get this one, Jim. Scott said about three times, the guy with the grey hair. He had silver hair. And then eventually said Jim Goodwin, which is the correct answer. Yeah. So it goes to all. Who's captain Scotland more times, Andy Robertson or Darren Fletcher? Andy Robertson is the correct answer. 45 times to 34 for Stephen Fletcher. So 3-all. Which Scottish Championship team play at the Excelsior? You both said Airdrie. You both got it right. Who is the top goal scorer so far in the English Premier League? Are you kicking yourself that you passed that one?
Of course, I just blank because it's going to be Haaland.
Scott took a wee bit of time over it, but said Erling Haaland. Yeah. So it goes 5-4. However, Jim got one more question in. True or false, Philip Clement spent part of his playing career in Britain.
Coventry.
Jim went for true. It is Coventry, which means it is a thriller.
Oh, I love a tiebreaker as well.
Draw.
5-5.
And that means that it will go to
what a game,
tiebreaker.
Guys, well done.
That was a great game. So what I'm going to get you to do, Scott, is wait on your answer. We'll get Jim Duffy to write it down. Okay. You'll see yours out loud, and then we'll see who is nearest. So here is a tiebreaker question. To the nearest percent, what was Craig Brown's win percentage as Scotland manager? To the nearest percent, what was Craig Brown's win percentage as Scotland manager? We'll keep you a second, Scott, because Jim is just about to write down his answer. Right, okay, Jim has written down his answer. He's showing me it. What do you say, Scott?
43.
You've gone for 43. Jim Duffy has gone for 40. I tell you what, a good answer by both of you, but Scott was closer. He was only 2% yes. out. 45% is 45. The answer. And Scott has won. Jim Duffy has been defeated Scott. For the first time. So a signed ball will be on its way to you and your son. Congratulations.
Good. Well, Z Samet was it got the answer anyway for the Haaland.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, exactly. Love it. There you go.
In the same road as Jim. Yeah.
Fantastic. Scott, you're well a Rangers fan as well. How are you feeling about the game tomorrow?
I think we've got a chance. I really don't know. It's one of the games, and I don't know who's going to turn up, to be honest with you.
That's it. There's been a lot of confidence on the phones from both sides tonight, Scott. Feeling a bit more
realism about it.
Do you think it's going to be tight?
I think it will be tight. Again, and Scott's by home with what he says. It depends who turns up. You know, what Celtic team are going to turn up, what Rangers team are going to turn up. I do agree that probably Celtic, they've maybe got a higher ceiling with the group that they've got at this moment. But again, that doesn't mean anything going into these games. Rangers are coming in with real momentum, as much as Philippe Clement doesn't like that word. They're in a long unbeaten run. And another thing, they'll not want to give that up. You know, Philippe Clement will not want to give that up, particularly near his rival. So I think if Rangers can go there tomorrow and get a result, I think it would be a positive one.
Would it be huge for Philippe Clement just in his first game against Celtic to get that win? He's obviously had a very successful spell so far, Scott. He's got a trophy in the bag, but to get that first win against Celtic as well, would that be huge?
I think it would definitely be huge, not just for Clement, but for the players as well that's had a few doings off Celtic. You know, they seem to kind of show that we're getting there, then we just seem to fail behind again. So I think it could be a big one.
How big is the timing of this sort of New Year game as well? Yes, it's sometimes the last game before the winter break. There is one more, but just for the psychology, Jim, and going into that extended break, of course Rangers can't go top with a win this weekend, but if they were to edge closer with the games in hand, or if Celtic were to extend it a bit, then how big could that be for either side?
Yeah, I always think it's a slightly bigger game for the team chasing it. And as Kenny had mentioned, I think the game being off is actually a blow for Rangers. If they'd have won that, it would have given a fantastic opportunity to be top. But I think if Celtic won this match, even though Rangers have a couple of games, it just gives them that little bit of breathing space, puts a little bit of extra pressure on Rangers. And then, you know, although Rangers have made one signing for the January window, you know, it can sometimes influence, you know, what you might be looking for in that. And it might put a wee bit of extra pressure on you to get one or two players in, not just to stimulate your own team, but to give, you know, interest back to your supporters and get the supporters back on side again. So I think there's still a wee bit more pressure on Rangers for this particular game, simply because they are behind Celtic, even though with those games in hand.
Let's hear a bit more from Philippe Clement. He knows a win tomorrow would be big. However, he says it's important that they wouldn't get carried away if it does happen.
I know it's about 3 points, and it's of course a boost at that moment, but then 3 days later you need to confirm the boost. And I've seen in the past well enough in my team or in other teams that people get an incredible boost and an incredible performance, and 3 days later they don't perform anymore because they were thinking about their boost. So then you lose. It's about 3 points, and on Tuesday again about 3 points. So no, game by game. And that's the story we need to do. I know that's the way to win things long term, and not to be living from moment to moment, or boost, or to be down the moment that you lose somewhere points. But will happen along the way. But we go every game for the 3 points, and with all our energy, with all our enthusiasm, and with our qualities.
Yeah, he quite often talks about the league being a marathon, Philippe Clement, and sort of just doubling down on it there, that even if Rangers do get the result tomorrow, he knows fine well that Rangers have a game again on Tuesday and they need to go again for that game, and then there's plenty more to come after the winter break, and it'll be exactly the same for Celtic as well.
Absolutely is, and you know, I like that type of chat. It is 3 points. Listen, it's a big 3 points, let me tell you, and I think even the psychology of the game is massive as well. But again, probably more so for Rangers, like with it being Philippe Clement's first.
But he's right. Again, I always say the game before and the game after, they're just as, it's 3 points. And if you can, if Rangers could beat Celtic or vice versa, Celtic beat Rangers, it's really important the next game you go into that you don't drop points. Otherwise, all that hard work you've done against the best team or your best level of opposition in the league gets undone if you go and drop silly points again for Rangers. It'll be against Kilmarnock just after the year. So it's, I get what he's saying. I like it, but I think it's a wonderful opportunity. Again, if you take the, just from a, like a neutral perspective, it's just a brilliant game, everything that goes into it. I think with Rangers, we're momentum, with good form, they're obviously on this long unbeaten run, there's a chance to close the gap. It would have been great if they had the opportunity to go top of the league. I think that would have added something to the game. But for Celtic, actually, they've got to have the mindset that they're the champions, they're the treble winners, and it's a chance for them to say, you know what, we're still the best team in this league, and put Rangers in their place. That's why it's just got the makings of a brilliant game with teams that are different kind of form. At the moment, obviously, with Celtic slipping up, obviously, 2 losses, 2 wins in the last 4 league games, and Rangers on this long unbeaten run. It's just got a brilliant game, you know, and this is what we want. You hope that lives up to the hype, because, like I said, I've been looking forward to this game for a couple of weeks now.
Scott, who needs to show up for Rangers tomorrow if they're to get a result?
Well, I think Cantwell's a big player. I really do. I know he's not the best season up to now, but I think he's a guy that can create things. Lundstrom, if he's fit, very important in the midfield. But I definitely think that in the Old Firm game at Ibrox, I think the worst thing Rangers could have done was sat back, which they did. I mean, Celtic were playing with an unrecognised defence, and I don't think Hart's too good with the ball at his feet either. And I was thinking all they had to do was press Celtic, but they sat back, and Callum McGregor just grew into the game. I think we don't want to do the same again, just play a bit higher, put the Celtic defence under a bit of pressure. But at the same time, we need to be tight and solid.
That was an interesting one, like, because I thought the exact same. I've already talked about how much Callum McGregor dominated that first game, but at the game at the end of the season, I know the league was won and there was changes to the team and what have you, but Rangers did play a more aggressive game that day, and they did get all over Cantwell. And again, that day, I felt Cantwell probably ran over the top of Celtic that day, got his goal, and I thought he was really, really effective. And he should be a big player for Rangers, Scott, but you're right, he's maybe not quite hit that same level as he did at the end of last season this year. But again, like Cantwell, like for everybody else who's picked to play in this game tomorrow, what a game to actually go and show that you're capable of taking this fixture by the scruff of the neck.
Well, thank you to Scott. Let's speak to John, who's a Celtic fan in Coke Bridge. Have you got any thoughts on who should be starting for Celtic tomorrow?
Hi guys, how you doing?
Hi John.
Hi John.
Well, it's just, I tried going last night because I seen a couple of things on social media about Hatate and Abada batting training. Personally, the more if I was Brendan Rodgers, I don't think Brendan would be frightened to throw in Abada, for the start. I would play Hatate for the start tomorrow, because I think when we've played against Rangers, he's dominated, and obviously Abada as well. He's gave Barisic nightmares, as we know. But I think tomorrow as well, I think Hatate should play for the start. I think that's been what we've been really missing. And see, talking with that young boy who was on earlier on here, Scott, I agree with Scott in a way, but I actually hope Rangers do have a go to Celtic tomorrow. I think that's part of the problem with Celtic. If teams don't have a goal to find it this year, it'll be Brendan hard to break down. You know what I mean? But in the morning, I would also play Lager Bielka instead of Welsh along with Scales if Carter Vickers is out. What do you think, guys?
Well, I don't think you play Lager Bielka, John. Listening to Brendan Rodgers talking about Stephen Welsh in his pre-match interview, he was very complimentary on him. Lager Bielka hasn't, you know, step forward from that initial game at Ibrox when he did do well. Obviously, there's a wee bit of controversy about the goal, but overall, he did well. But he just hasn't pushed on, and I don't know whether it's a case he just thought things would happen naturally. But when you're at a club at Celtic, you really need to raise your standards. You need to, match the competition, and so far he hasn't done that. So I don't think he will start. As far as Hatate, I mentioned earlier on in the programme, I think he could throw Hatate in because he is such a talent. You get an hour of him. I think if he is available for an hour and he has trained enough, to be up to that level, then I think he's worth the risk, because I think he's better than Bernardo, or and at this moment in time, David Turnbull doesn't seem to be the fit for Brendan Rodgers. So Hatate,
can training only do so much though in terms of match fitness? This is a game that you probably need to be right up for to match the intensity of, if you've been out for 3.5 months, 4 months in the case of, you know, you look at the two players we're talking about, if they're to be thrown in, Abada and Hitati, is it a big risk just in terms of getting them to match the tempo of the game, or can quality shine through?
Listen, I think every player is different in that respect. Some players will be able to train a few days and they'll be good to go. And particularly in this game, the adrenaline and everything. If you're that way inclined, you know, you'll rise to the occasion. Other players might not. Other players might need a couple of weeks to train before, in their mind, they feel comfortable that they're ready to play. So it all just depends. I do think if it was between one, I think Kitati has been Abada's really been missed as well. I'm a big fan of Abada. But Hitati in that area, Jim's right, nobody's grabbed it. Nobody's grabbed that shirt. It's been Bernardo, it's been Turnbull, it's been Iwata at times as well, you know. So I just think with Hitati, if he's back, maybe it is worth an hour. Even 50 minutes, 55 minutes. And again, at that point, the game will have... Brendan Rodgers will be able to see the game. What I think Brendan Rodgers is really good at is actually analysing an in-game and then making slight changes within that game. Seen him do it a number of times. So if he might think it's time for Bernardo, he might think, hey, this is a game for David Turnbull. With his qualities, it can come on and impact the game. So I think Hitati has been a big miss, as has Abada, but I would maybe, again, like Jim, maybe not be as surprised if Hitati was to be given
odds. You know, Kenny's, you know, will know from playing with players and working with players when he's coaching, there are some players who need those games and need convinced that they are 100% before they can go and commit themselves to the game. There's other players who are absolutely fine. They know, I'll get through the game. I've got enough in the tank to get through it. But there are games, and sometimes, you know, all depends on who the player is. And, you know, if I say to Kenny Miller, you've trained, you've been out for, you know, 6 weeks, but there's an Old Firm game coming up on Saturday. You've trained Thursday, Friday. Are you fit? I know 100% he's going, I'm fit, I'm ready to go, get me in there. Because the adrenaline, the energy, you know, everything, the build up to the game is going to get you through a certain part of that game. And you've got enough knowledge in your football brain to get you through. And I think Hitati is that type of player.
John, why would you think, or why do you hope that Lager Bielka gets the nod?
No, it was just because at the start of the season, when we'd all the injuries at defence, Lager Bielka and Scales, as Jim said there, they played quite well together. Know what I mean? So I know Welsh has done well, but just because they've played together at the start of the season against Rangers at Ibrox, and they've done reasonably well. So it's just, that's how I would play him. And I'm not a big fan of Stephen Welsh, even though he's a Coke Ridge boy like myself, but he's the boy.
He'll be knocking your door tonight, John, if you keep talking like that.
I know he's dashed, so I better watch what I'm saying.
I don't think Stephen Welsh has ever let Celtic do, no, John. I mean, he's never been the number one pick, but every time he's went in, whether it's a European game, you know, a league game, he's a really steady, honest, reliable defender. I think it's hard, maybe comparing him with Carter Vickers or something like that, but I think Stephen Welsh is a really reliable defender.
I think as well, Jimmy, he's more of a goal threat as well for set pieces. I would give you that as well, know what I mean, going for corners and that. But as I said, I think Celtic will be too good for Rangers tomorrow, personally. Sorry, Kenny, but that's my personal opinion. I think they'll step up to the mark tomorrow, because although Rangers have been on a good run, I know that some of the games have played well against under Clement, but I don't think they've been set the hair on fire the same as Celtic. I think at the start of the season, some of the Celtic fans were sort of, they were always put over eyes because Rangers weren't very good and Celtic haven't been very good. I think the only game we've really played this year at full pelt is against Hearts up at Tynecastle. We were brilliant for 45 minutes. But as I say, I think, I hope Hitati plays them all anyway. That's just thing, me. So anyway, guys, thanks and have a nice new year, guys. And I'll talk to you next year. Take care, guys.
Thank you to John. Still plenty of time to get your calls in at home. 01419511025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. For 50 years, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Yes, not long to go now until Celtic against Rangers. The next Old Firm game is at 12:30 tomorrow, so keep your thoughts coming in. 0141 951 1025. Who should start? Do you think your team are going to win? Are you slightly worried about the game going into it? Let us know. But before that, let me set this up for Kenny and Jim.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Slat wall panels available in 7 colours. Now in stock at East Kilbride at competitive prices.
Yes, thank you to Gordon DL's unusually long nose for submitting this one. That is the Twitter account, by the way. That's not just me throwing out random insults there. But the question for you two, can you name the last 8 loan players to score in an Old Firm match? Nice and topical. Can you name the last 8 loan players to score in an Old Firm game?
Oof, right. Toiling straight away.
Eight loan players. Right.
There are a few recent ones in here as well.
Yeah, still kind of again.
Loan players. El Yunusi.
Mohamed El Yunusi, correct, in 2021.
Patrick Roberts.
Patrick Roberts. No.
No.
I'll take one more guess from each of you. Ryan Kent, correct, scored in his initial loan spell before joining permanently. Have you got anything for me, Jim?
No.
Or should we move on? Right, okay, there we go. You've got 2 of the 8. And remember, if you want to hear your question on air, put these guys to the test. Send your questions in to fulltime@clyde1.com. Let's speak to Gary, who's a Rangers fan, on the line. Gary, what's on your mind tonight?
Evening, Tarrell. How are we doing?
Hey, Gary.
It's basically about clarification from the group chat that me and my pals are in. So a couple of people banging stuff about the new signing that Rangers got, saying that he would be able to play. I don't think he is.
No, he can't play tomorrow. So essentially teams can sign players whenever they like, really, but they can only be registered during the transfer window. So he can only be registered from basically midnight starting on Monday. So he will be available to play on Tuesday, whether he's fit enough to play or not. That's another question. So could play against Kilmarnock on Tuesday, but not available tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, thought as much.
What do you make of the signing, Gary?
I think it's a decent signing. I mean, the boy's not had much minutes of recent times, but not to say that he's not going to set the head on fire. I mean, he graces a Scottish game, but it's a wait and see, really. A lot of people said the same thing about the signings under Michael Beale, and we can now see how the fans view some of them, so...
Certainly an area that Rangers needed to strengthen with the injuries to Danilo, which is a long-term one, Kamar Roof as well. I think there was confirmation from Clement today that it'll be sort of maybe at least 2 weeks that he'll be out for, although has had plenty of injury problems, so you never know, he end up maybe out for a bit longer than that. Just the sort of market they've gone into, is it a case of, you know, his goal-scoring record for Wolves hasn't been good at all, but he spent time on loan at Anderlecht last season, at PSV last season, combined scored 16 goals. Is that more of the sort of comparative, you know, place that you'd look?
I think it's decent. I mean, it's good levels as well. Obviously, I've seen how good PSV have been this season. So again, getting 16 goals, I think was it high 40, like 47, 40 appearances, a goal every 3 is decent enough for a young player. It's prompted Wolves to pay a lot of money for him, you know. So they've obviously seen something there to go and spend that type of money on him. So you're hoping, and it's definitely, and I think he can play a few positions as well. He's not just kind of limited to play number 9. I think he can play as a second striker, potentially even off the left as well. So it does cover good bits. I mean, I thought a winger would have been really important. So if he can fill in that position, I think it would be a good sign. And that's when you're signing players, you're always wanting that flexibility that they maybe cover a couple of positions, particularly if you've not got a lot of money to spend. You're looking for guys that can maybe fit in different areas of the pitch. So it looks like a decent enough sign on paper. But again, we're talking about Hatate and guys like that. Abada, no being up to speed through injury. He's not had a lot of football. So maybe the break comes at a good time as well. You know, will he be involved against Kilmarnock on the second? Who knows? But then you've got time to train with your team and get up to speed for the start of the league back at the end of January.
Yeah, let's hear from Philip Clement on Silva. He's been talking about pretty much all the points we were saying there. He's happy he's got him in early because he's not had much game time, so it'll help him get up to speed. And he also thinks that he'll be able to fill in a few positions.
He didn't play too many minutes this season. We need time to get him into a good shape, although his tests were quite good for the minutes he played. So you see it's somebody who's been working on himself, on his physical abilities. So that's already positive. That's also what we got out of the talks we had with him last couple of weeks about his ambitions, about our ambitions also. And I think it's a really clear sign also from the club, from everything, that players with that reputation and quality want to come to Rangers. So he's very motivated. and it's going to be interesting to integrate him into the team. And in that way, it's important that he comes early. The good thing with him is a versatile player. He can play different positions, and maybe we can use him also in different positions. But with the situation of Dani out for a couple of months and Kemar, who will also be out next couple of weeks for sure, we don't have many numbers in the striking position, so that will be the main position first.
Danilo and Kemar Roofe are maybe the obvious ones, but news today that Abdallah Sima has been called up for the African Cup of Nations. Yeah. I think he'll maybe miss a minimum of three games after the winter break, could be as many as five, I think, depending on how far they go in the tournament. Having a player like Fabio Silva, who is flexible, as Philip Clement says, that could be a help in that department.
Yeah, I mean, as Kenny mentioned there, he can play in a number of positions, but I still think Rangers would have to go out and sign a natural winger. You want to play players in their natural positions and so where they feel comfortable, particularly when you're bringing new players to a club. It's all right to be adaptable, but I think that's fine if you're an established player. But to settle in, you want to be playing. And so, I think... always feel a bit sorry for Kemar Roofe. He's just, over the last few seasons, he just can't seem to get a run for one reason or another. Seems to pick up injury after injury. So, when you're trying to build a team and build a way of playing, it's hard to bank on him because he keeps breaking down. And obviously, with Danilo going to be a few months, they definitely needed someone. Obviously, a lot of talk about Lauren Shankland. And, I still thought that Rangers would have went in and made some sort of bid there. I don't think that will happen now with the signing of Fabio Silva. I just think it'd be too expensive just now. But I still believe Rangers will go and as Kenny says, maybe look at a wide player and see if they can bring him in. At the times I've seen him with Wolves, he got himself into a lot of good positions. He missed a real few chances, but I think that weight of expectation was really heavy on his young shoulders. He was signed as was an 18 or 19 year old for $35 million, and I just think that that weight of responsibility probably was a little bit too much pressure on him. I think he's now maybe maturing, and I think for him to choose Rangers as well was a big statement from his point of view. I think he's a really good signing for Rangers once he gets up to speed. The unfortunate thing in football nowadays is you're judged almost instantly. I think you have to give him four or five games under his belt just to get him up to speed. And I think after that, I think he could be an important signing for Rangers.
Gary, does it ease the burden on Cyril Dessers a wee bit as well? There's been a lot of maybe a sort of weight on his shoulders because of the injuries to other players in that position. He's had a tough start to his Rangers career. Does look as if he's improving at the moment, but was it crucial he got some help in that department?
Maybe not so much help, it probably pushes him more to try and keep the position because he's not got Roofe and Danilo fit to push him for his place. Then there's somebody else to keep him on his toes, really.
Is that quite important in a squad game, Kenny? If a player doesn't have any direct competition, can attitudes change?
Listen, again, I think that's an individual thing. If you're going to get complacent and settle because you're the only option there, then you're not the right type of mentality for those clubs in Glasgow. You need guys that are constantly looking to improve. You're actually looking at guys that want the challenge. They want to be pushed and they want to say, I've got the jersey and nobody's taken it off me. That's the type of mentality you need for players that are playing in the Old Firm. But I definitely think that having competition will help, because they're on a daily basis now. And even for the optics, it's thinking right now, okay, Philippe Clement's talking about that's going to be the main area that he's going to play and that's going to be there. Now for your Cyril Dessers, you've got the jersey. Now you have to be saying, what a goal would do for me tomorrow on an Old Firm game, particularly if it was a winning goal and he can keep this young lad at bay who has been bought for big money and coming with a big reputation. That's the kind of guys you want. That's how you want to respond to these. But big clubs, you need competition. You've got three competitions you're still going to be playing in. You've got injuries. Rangers needed cover. No cover. They actually needed improvements, to be honest with you, in that area of the pitch. So they need body. So obviously Fabio Silva is going to provide that type of competition in the number nine role.
Thanks to Gary. Eddie is a Rangers fan in East Kilbride. Philip Clement's first Old Firm game tomorrow. How do you think he'll fare?
I'm not overly confident. Going to Parkhead, all Celtic fans, no Rangers fans in there. But I'm just glad that we're having a conversation here that Rangers are back in the title race. Before Big Clement came in, we get beat 3-1 by Aberdeen, we were pretty much giving up on the title.
To be honest, you know, it was all down through there. But since he's come in, he's done brilliant. And we'll see how the game. I mean, I would take a draw just now. But I think where Rangers can get at them tomorrow is, you know, is our height difference and our physicality. You know, I'm not sure what central defence he's going to go with. If he plays Big Balogun, who I think has been outstanding since he's come in. So if you get Balogun, Goldson, you get Dessers, you get Seema, you know, we've got height there. So I think for set pieces, we can cause them a lot of problems. But, you know, a defeat for me tomorrow wouldn't be the end of it. If we win our two games in hand, we're 2 points behind. They're still to come to Ibrox. So just the fact that we're talking here, the Rangers are in the title race, you know, for me, is just brilliant.
How much has that shifted just in the last few weeks, that maybe at one point it looked as if for Rangers this game would be win or bust, but the fact that they've gone on a good run under Philip Clement, Celtic have had a couple of defeats as well. Rangers still have those games in hand. I'm sure they would prefer the points on the board, although they're obviously not guaranteed points on the board. Is it one that, you know, it is a lot more open now, and it's maybe not as crucial in terms of what happens at the end of the season, but still very important?
No, absolutely. Rangers' consistency has thrown a gauntlet down at Celtic. You know, until Philip Clement came in, as Eddie just said there, after that 3-1 defeat, there was Rangers were dispirited. There was no doubt there was a change in atmosphere at Ibrox. You know, there was a real sense of despondency. I think that he has turned that around. Absolutely, the Rangers fans are back on side. There's a different atmosphere at Ibrox. There's a real belief that they get into every game believing they can win. They had lost that, at the final weeks of Michael Beale's tenure. So that's back, and that's really important. But it's going to be even more important to go to Celtic Park and believe you can get a result, because it hasn't happened very often in recent years. So therefore, this is a test, the next big test for Philip Clement and this Rangers team. And again, as Eddie said, they are in the mix and they will still be in the mix, you know, regardless of the result tomorrow. But as I said earlier on in the programme, if Celtic do win, it just puts that wee bit extra pressure that the next game's Kilmarnock, that they then can't afford any slip-ups at all, even though with those games in hand. So a huge game for both teams tomorrow. But I think that Eddie's right. There has been a change in mentality from this Rangers team under Philip Clement. He speaks brilliant. I think he's terrific with the media. I think he comes across really positive. He's a tighter manager you would think players would want to play for. You know, you hear, you know, players talking about managers with presence when they walk into a dressing room, like Walter Smith and these type of guys. There's a presence about them, and Philip Clement seems to have that. Can the Rangers players respond to that challenge tomorrow? I don't think the manager will be, uptight about the game tomorrow. I think he'll thrive in this type of atmosphere. But it's the players on the pitch that have got to respond to it, and Rangers need a big performance.
I think an earlier caller, I think it was Dominic, said that a draw would suit Rangers better. Do you go along with that, given the games in hand, the fact it's at Celtic Park, or do you think it's much of a muchness?
Oh, listen, I think a draw would be a good result for Rangers, I do. It stays 5 points, you know, you've got two games in hand. It means you can go top of the league at some point if you continue to win. I think one of the games in hand is going to be way down the road as well, so there's going to be a lot of football to be played and potentially points dropped for either team between them. But it's the optics here again. You're 5 points behind, you've got two games in hand, you've got an opportunity to go top. And this is again, Eddie's right, if you'd been talking like this 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, you would have thought if Rangers were to go to Celtic Park and lose, then that could have been it. You know, it could have been it had Celtic not slipped up and had Philippe Clement not had this kind of consistency his results since he's came in. So it's a big game, you know. It's a big game for both managers, I think, as well. It's Philippe Clement's first, it's Brendan Rodgers. He's got a brilliant record, we're talking at the top of the show, but there has been obviously a bit of negativity surrounding Celtic over the last few weeks, so it's a great opportunity for them to go and win the result as well and get a bit of positivity surrounding their team as well.
Well, thank you to Eddie. Let's have a go at this teaser again. Can you name the last 8 lone players to score in an Old Firm match? You have already Mohamed El Younoussi and Ryan Kent.
Is Jota one?
Jota, correct. He is the latest to do it.
Ramsey.
Aaron Ramsey is a good shout as well.
Did Carter Vickers, did he score whilst on loan?
Cameron Carter Vickers as well. We will get the rest after the break.
Glasgow and the West's league leader for 50 years. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Jim Duffy and Kenny Miller here with me, Andrew McLean. There is only two answers to get on the teaser, so I'll tell you what, I think we'll leave that until the end. We have talked plenty about the game between Celtic and Rangers tomorrow. There are some other big fixtures across the Scottish Premiership as well. Just taking a look at them as well, I think certainly the one that catches my eye anyway, Motherwell against Livingston.
Absolutely, that's what I said right at the top of the show. Big games at both ends of the table. Motherwell on an incredible run without wins, can point to some decent draws and good fighting comebacks that you can spin it in a positive way, that you're fighting to the end, and you've got a couple of late draws as well, but they need to stop. And Livingston equally, you know, on a real bad run. So I'm trying to see who would be more important for it. I think it's probably, listen, I don't even know, because I was going to say more probably Livingston, because if Motherwell can win it, it kind of cuts them adrift a little bit. If Livingston can win,
more
it can
expectation on Motherwell being
so.
A home team.
I think so. I think there will be, and that I say has been. I've watched Motherwell a few times, and I still think there's more there. You know, they had a really good start to the season, and then even in a few of the losses, I'm thinking back to, I think it was their first one with St Mirren. I mean, that's way, way back, right at the start of this run, that they actually played really well. They played really well at Ibrox. They were done by Celtic when they equalised and then conceded an injury time as well. So there's a lot of kind of, at the start of that run, but they were still playing pretty well. And players are confidence animals, you know, like, it's just, they'll just be set, they'll be finding against anyone. It doesn't matter if you're playing Celtic or Rangers or Livingston or Dundee at this moment in time for Motherwell. Every game's going to be really, really tough as each game goes past, the pressure mounts. So that's the game that catches the eye. But also, I look at Kilmarnock Dundee. I think it's a decent enough game. Two teams that have actually gone well, and by the way, two guys that know each other really, really well. So that's a really interesting game as well.
How frustrating will that be for Stuart Kettlewell? And it's something that Stephen Robinson was talking about today, that essentially your team can go from getting good results to not getting good results, that, you know, the flip of a coin, essentially not much has changed and all of a sudden form just completely disintegrates.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you hear managers saying these things all the time, and it sounds like stating the obvious about what happens in both boxes, because Motherwell, as Kenny said, play some good football, but they have just moments where they switch off and some basic defending, and that's cost them. The one difference between Motherwell and Livingston, or the biggest difference, I think, is they can score goals. Livingston just cannot seem to buy a goal just now. And, you know, they had a clean sheet, you know, a few days ago. But they need to find a way to score goals. And I know Davies came out and said, like, they need to try and bring in some players who can start the games. You know, they missed a couple of absolute sitters, and Mikey Devlin missed one right on, you know, the 93rd minute, I think, the other day there. And these are the type of things, when you haven't scored goals, you tend to snatch at things. So they need to bring someone in, which is very difficult with the budget that Livingston have, that can help them. Because if they can't find someone, they will eventually. You know, that confidence, that belief will definitely evaporate, and I think they will find themselves in real trouble. Motherwell, I think, can score goals, but they have these moments in games where they just seem to switch off. So I'm with Kenny. I think Motherwell have got enough ability and enough quality to get themselves out of it. But make no mistake, tomorrow is a huge match at Motherwell. If they don't win, then, you know, that is going to be the one that the pressure will mount massively on Stuart Kettlewell.
I'm sure you've at home heard a few different things on Clyde One over the last week or so. Let's tell you a bit more about that. Sorry.
Clyde One, 50 years as Glasgow and the West's number one. Radio Clyde 261, all
together now. Sing it to me. Yeah, the 31st of December 1973 was when Clyde One first went on air, 50 years ago, almost 50 years ago. We're a couple of days out, but you might have heard that we have been celebrating a bit on air on this show. We've been playing the old theme tune as well. Has that brought back some memories, Jim?
Absolutely. You know, I was brought up with Radio Clyde, as you said, from the very, very first night it was aired. So, yeah, I mean, it brings back a lot of memories. And that theme tune, yeah, it's absolutely you know, stays in your mind from when you were a kid.
So on the show in the last few nights, we've been getting some of the pundits to give us some of their greatest moments from the last 50 years of Scottish football, putting a football spin on it as we tend to do on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. You've given us yours already, Kenny. It's your turn, Jim, putting you on the spot.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's plenty you could pick, you know, umpteen I was tempted to go for. I played in the game with Albert Kidd, scored two goals in the last game for Hearts against Hearts, and Celtic won the league down at St Mirren. But I've went for Aberdeen winning the European Cup Winners' Cup against Real Madrid in 1983.
Good choice.
Because, listen, a Scottish team to beat Real Madrid, it's just unheard of. If you think about it now, it'd be ridiculous.
Still the last time I think Real Madrid have been beaten in a European
final in 40 years. And crazy. It was the famous Fergie side, and we know what Fergie done. Phenomenal job at Aberdeen and what he'd been on to do at Manchester United. But for a Scottish team to win a European trophy, beating a club of the stature of Real Madrid, I think that deserves you know, a very valuable mention in all the famous games that have went on through those 50 years.
I mean, you could go through the whole team, Kenny, but you know, Jim Leighton, Alex McLeish, Willie Miller, Gordon Strachan in there as well.
I couldn't, because I was like four, so I wouldn't have remember that game. But about incredible team. I mean, the names you've just mentioned, I actually worked with some of them. I've worked under them as managers. So, I mean, wonderful team. And again, a lot of top managers have came out of that team as well.
Yeah, but also young guys that came through. Like Eric Black and John Hewitt, goal scorers that came through. See, Fergie had this, you know, fantastic talent of bringing those young players through. Like, say, Neil Cooper and John Hewitt, as I said to you, Eric Black. These in amongst the guys you mentioned, you know, McLeish, Miller, Leighton, Strachan, all these sort of guys. Just a phenomenal manager with an unbelievable track record. But to win that type of trophy with a club, you know, Aberdeen, I just think it cements his legacy as probably, if not the greatest manager, one of the greatest managers of all time.
Do you remember watching it?
Yeah, I mean, again, you go back to that time, 1983, you know, these are the type of, of course, people in Aberdeen, it's not a West of Scotland thing that, you know, we know where the loyalties lie for the majority of listeners to this programme. But when you're a football fan growing up and when you were involved, and obviously I was playing professional at that time, it was something that you absolutely looked out for. And, you know, to have that achievement in that, you know, at that time, I think tells you the level of Scottish football was at that time. You know, there was, you know, you had the Dundee United side who went on to a European final. You know, the Old Firm weren't quite as dominant as they are and have been since that time, really, since the mid-80s. Then, you know, Celtic and Rangers have dominated Scottish football. But in those that period of time, the late 70s to the mid-80s, maybe just beyond that, then the East of Scotland sides in terms of Aberdeen and Dundee United were certainly a force to be reckoned with.
Yes, good choice by Jim Duffy. So that will be New Year's Eve, Clyde One's 50th birthday. You can get us between 12 o'clock and 2 o'clock to hear a very special birthday programme looking back on some of our history. But you two have a bit of work to do on the teaser. The last 8 lone players to score in an Old Firm match. You've got Jota, Carter Vickers, Ramsey, El Yunusi, Kent,
Odson Edward,
correct. You're going a bit further back for two of them.
Craig Bellamy,
fantastic shout. And the other, you may have played in this game, Kenny. It is not a name that really hit the heights of Scottish football. It was a mistake by Alan McGregor for the goal.
Was it running about a Gordon Strachan era?
2011. Fullback. Three initials, B-E-K.
Nah,
I'm going to have to put you out of your misery. Badr El Khadouri was the goal scorer.
Never get that one.
Thank you to Kenny Miller and to Jim Duffy. Thank you to you at home as well for your calls and just for listening in. We will be back tomorrow, 12 p.m. The huge game, Celtic against Rangers. Mark Wilson, Gordon DL and Hugh Keevans in the studio with Gordon Duncan. But stay right there because it's the GBX up next.